Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I hope you brought your Bible tonight.
Amen.
And ready to get into the Word of God. I want to continue to talk about the very last Sunday of November, as I ministered, on being God inside minded. God inside minded. And I'm going to read some of the same scriptures, not going to preach the same sermon. So if you want, either download it on the podcast, or you can, the Rhema Bible Church podcast, or you can go pick up a copy in the bookstore. But I want us to start in the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, if you would please. God inside minded. God, by the Holy Ghost, we could say, living on the inside of us. Sometimes, you know, people want to split hair. Well, is it God the Holy Ghost, God the Father, God the Son? It's God, all right? He's in us. Now, here in John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said to this woman at the well, and she had asked him for water, said, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give shall never thirst." Everybody say, never. "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him." Now notice that phrase, "in him," a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In him, in us. Now he's speaking here, this water, concerning the Holy Spirit. It's evident as he talks about, later on, we won't read chapter 7, but he talks about a river of living water flowing out. "This spake he of the Holy Ghost." But this spring of water, this well of water springing up into everlasting life. All of our needs, personal needs, individually, are met by this well of water springing up in us. This is for our benefit. This is the result of being a child of God, being born again. This is the provision that God has made for the children of God, is this well of water that springs up. A spring, unless you cap it, it continually produces new water. All right? And you know, I remember being down in Florida one time, and going out to a certain spring area where people were, and you could swim down. If you know, you could go down a little bit towards where the spring, and then they got down there and they had actually put a grate over it so people wouldn't swim into this cave where this water was coming from. But there was a lot of flesh there, unfortunately. But there was a fresh flow of water. All right. A fresh flow of water coming from that continually. And that's the way it is to be in our life. There should be a flow of life. Notice he says, a well of water springing up into everlasting, this Zoe life of God. Zoe, the life that God lives, the life that God is. God is life. Amen? And it's to be in us. You can see where I believe as I look back over my life and over, and in doing, we have lived so far below what God has made provision for, in that we've continually looked for the out to the outside for our needs to be met, when all along on the inside is where that comes from. And that produces anything that you need from the outside is attracted from what's on the inside of you. Amen. If you need finances, you see, and we're doing what the Word of God has to say, we're sowing, that well is like a magnet that draws it to you. God has made provision. Everything you and I need is met by that. Look in John chapter 14. These are scriptures we read last time. And then I want to go a little bit different direction tonight. But this is something that you just don't, you know, preach two sermons on. You got it all. You understand that? These are things that I think we continually need to be looking at. I know I do personally. John 14, verse 16 and 17. "And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you," and notice this, "shall be in you." Well, in you means in me. He's in me. He's in you. Who? The mighty Holy Ghost. This divine comforter, paraclete, advocate, strengthener, standby, intercessor. He's in us. Hallelujah. Well, I wish somebody was on my side. Somebody is on your side. He's on the inside of you. Hallelujah. He's your intercessor. I wish somebody would take it up with me. Yes, he'll take hold together with you. The Holy Spirit, glory to God. He's in us. Look down here, verse 26. But the Comforter, there again, there's that the Greek word there, English word for Comforter there from the Greek letter, and it's Paraclete. And it means advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, so many things there. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Look over in chapter 15, verse 26. Speaking of what the Holy Spirit's going to do after Jesus leaves us. But when the Comforter is come, I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, whom I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. He shall testify of me. Now notice one of the ways, it's obvious then to me, one of the ways that the Holy Spirit is going to be a well of living water springing up on the inside of us is he's going to teach us and guide us into the Word of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit's not doing anything in us and for us outside of God's Word. The Word and the Spirit agree. All right? Now look at chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or necessary or better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, there's that word Comforter again, will not come unto you, but I will depart. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he's come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now here's what we get to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me. Again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to my Father. Now have you ever noticed there that he said he's going to take what's mine and show it to you. And then he says, and here's what's mine. Everything the Father has. Did he just tell us that the Holy Spirit is going to show us everything that the Father has? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't know where you are in your time of life, but there comes a time in life in your relationship with your Father that they say, all right, here, I want to show you. Here's where everything is. Here's all I got. Here's where it is. This is, you know. And then they may make out of, you know, and here's what I made out of will, and this is what I want to do with it. But they show you everything. You know, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're in that position of son. We've come into that position of sons to where God wants to show us all his stuff. And here it is. And here's how you get a hold of it. Here's where you go access that. If you need that, here's where this is. Amen. The great thing about Jesus, you know, you think about it, in order for a will to go into effect, that person who made the will has to actually die. Well, Jesus is the only one that made out a will, this last will in New Testament. He's made out a will. He died so it would go into enforce. And then he rose again to make sure we get what's in the will. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be on the inside of us. Glory, glory to God. All right. Now, Gabby up there, hang on with me. Go to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. Let's read verses 5 through 7. I told her, just hang on, because I might go a couple different places here, and I forgot I wanted to do this. As I was in and out of resting my eyes before the Lord this afternoon. Amen. Meditating. It was one of those times. I don't know if you ever do that, but I was sitting there and I was thinking about this and thinking about some things, about some scriptures, and I'd doze off. And when I come to, I'd be thinking about it still. I'd picked up in different things. And this is one of the areas that the Lord was bringing to my remembrance here, was here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Now we read that several translations here in verse 7 said, but he emptied himself. He emptied himself. Of what? Well, Jesus did not live on earth and do what he did. Now, he is the Son of God, never stopped being the Son of God. But he didn't heal anyone because he was God. He was anointed by God. But he emptied himself of not... Now, some people say emptied himself as divine. He never stopped being divine. But he emptied himself of that right and privilege, made himself of no reputation, see. He emptied himself, all right, and ministered like you and I are to minister to people. But he emptied himself. And here just recently, you know, as I was looking at that, this thought kept coming up on from the inside. I know it was God because he took me to scriptures to answer. He said this, look, Jesus emptied himself so you never would have to be. Amen. Now go over to Colossians with me. Here's another one, Gabby. Sorry. We have such great people that work during a service. You know, we're in here enjoying it. They're putting scriptures up on the screen. They're running a camera. They're mixing the video feed and doing all the things that they do. Such wonderful folks. Colossians chapter 1. Concerning Jesus now. Remember, he emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. All right? But notice what it says here. Let's read verse 18 so we can get in verse 9. And he is the head of the body, the church. You and I are part of the church, right? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now notice that. All fullness dwell. Jesus emptied himself, but he didn't stay empty. When he rose again, he was fully God once again as far as the way he's going to operate. He's not operating as a man anymore, even though he is a man. He's God the Son. Fully, he's full of the fullness of God in him. Now remember, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal this to us. Drop over to chapter 2. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in him. Say that. I am complete in him. Now see, listen, I think a lot of times we bought into the devil's lie that we're missing something. Amen. But he said there that we are complete in him. Now, you see people that don't understand that, they're going everywhere trying to be complete. Well, maybe that person will complete me. Or maybe this substance will complete me. Or maybe this sport will complete me. Maybe this activity will complete me. Amen. None of those things, listen to me, none of those things, because I'm complete in him, I don't need any other thing to complete me. Any other thing that I do ought to be a flow out of being already complete, you see. You know, sometimes you see people, you see it all the time in a lot of different things, you know. Students here, you know, they get up in their lab class and they don't preach quite like they think they should preach, you know. They didn't preach it as good as Brother Hagin preached it, and they're upset, you know. Well, you know, he ministered for over 60 years. I mean, he had a little bit of experience on you. This is your first, a lot of times it's your very first sermon. Amen? You see, the only thing I can allow to define me is being complete in him, is actually being in him. And knowing that I'm in him, I'm complete. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and the Holy Spirit is revealing it unto me. That's why it says when we look in the Word of God, it's like looking in a glass, and we're changed from glory to glory. From what we see now into a new. Now, God is so wonderful and so patient with us. Okay? Now, he showed us what we really look like compared to what we really should look like. We might just fall over dead right there. Just that's it. Okay. But he shows us the next. Here's what I want you to be next. Here's what I want you to be next. And he brings us along. Now, you can accelerate that by spending time in his word and spending time in there. But, you know, there's some things that's going to take time. But right now, on the inside of us, we are complete in him. So he emptied himself so we could be full of him. Amen. He made a trade with us. Now, not that he gave it up, because now he's filled with that glory. Hallelujah. Now, we're fullness of the Godhead. What is that? Well, there's three things I want to look at briefly tonight, just real quickly. Three things that the Bible says God is, that if he's in us this way, then we have on the inside of us. The first thing is, the Bible says God is light. Look over in John chapter 1. And you say, well, why is that important? Because light, because there's darkness in the earth. And there's darkness in the world. There's darkness in so many things. But yet we are light in God. He is light. And we are light. We were in darkness. I'll never forget that man who gave that testimony. I heard him say, when I came to this meeting, everything inside was dark. But now I'm leaving, everything inside is light. And no one had told him that. No one had preached that day in that conference we were having. But that was his take on it. That's what had happened. What happened to you, they asked him. He said, when I came, he said, I was getting ready to catch a ride, trying to find transport. He said, and I heard the music, and I came and sat in the back. And I had seen him come in. And he responded to the altar call and said, everything has gone from darkness to light on the inside of me. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Goes on, he says, the light shines in the darkness. Look over in 1 John, little John now. The first epistle, 1 John chapter 1. Now these attributes, when it comes to God, let me say it this way, they are absolute. He is light. There's no darkness in God. Right? Here in 1 John chapter 1. Now remember now, these things are in us. The light of God is in us. This then, he says in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So guess what? Our spirit man, because that's where God resides. That's the part that got born again. There is no darkness in there at all if you're born again. Amen. It is light. Because he is light. And in God, if God's in us, there's no darkness in there. Now, we have to renew our mind to walk in the light as he is in the light, right? And there's a growth. We're growing up spiritually. We say that, you know, sometimes some people get, you know, and want to start arguing semantics about that. Well, you know, but we're talking about our entire being. We're a three-part being, right? We're growing. We're growing to where we are always, the goal is to always be led by our spirit. Because there's no darkness in there. There's no dark way in there. It's always light. I've heard Pastor Hagin talk about, I have been in this sanctuary when there's no lights on. And I have walked in here, I don't know how many times with the lights on, but you turn the lights out, it freezes me. I'm telling you, now that exit sign back there eventually will barely kick in. But if I go out here, and I even though I've walked in how many times, and never even think about it, when you turn all these lights off, this place is dark. And I'm hesitant. I don't want to go. Amen? But the light drives out the darkness. Darkness cannot overcome the light. Glory to God. Amen? Look at Philippians chapter 2. Again, let's drop down there. You doing all right? Look here in Philippians 2, Let's look at verses 13 through 16. Philippians 2, 13 through 16. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Uh-oh. Now, you know, it's interesting. People say, well, you know, God's done it all. And yes, Jesus has finished the work of redemption. But you and I still have our part to play. Now, when he says something like that, do all things without murmuring and disputing, it's evident then that murmuring, that's griping and complaining, and disputing, arguing, will short circuit. Listen to me now. Will short circuit the fullness of God operating in our life. Okay? Verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, sons of God being a position in Christ, not a gender, okay? Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Why? Because we are light. We have that light in us. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That life. We are the light of the world. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. In us is light. The second thing that we're so familiar is that God is love. God is love, and that love is in us. God's light is in us, and the love of God is in us. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5. See, these are in him, these are God inside realities that we need to constantly be aware. What's inside me? Well, God's inside me. Well, what is in? Well, life and light and love. Those are attributes of God. So if God's in me, that's what's in me. His attributes. And I'm going to be a partaker of his divine nature. You know, God doesn't have to produce light. He is light. He doesn't have to produce love. He is love. Romans 5:5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. When that Holy Ghost we talked about, who's in us, that well. See, I've got a well. You've got a well of light on the inside. You got a well of love on the inside of you. Now again, don't cap it. Don't cap it. That love, that unconditional love, that love that God operates in. Look at 1 John 2. And you know there's so many scriptures we could look at, aren't there? Concerning this, but First John 2 verse 5 says, but whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. How do we keep that well of love uncapped? By doing God's word, acting on God's word, obeying God's word. See, we're not talking about here, listen to me, we're not talking about maintaining our salvation, trying to be right with God. We're talking about we're right with God, and now we're living like God. We're trying to live like God now. And we're obeying not to get God to love us, but we're obeying so we can be like God. That's what we're called to be, and to live like that. I obey God's word, and when I obey God's word, that love is allowed to be free in my life. And then to affect others. Look over in chapter 4, if you will. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We'll start there. Beloved, as he even calls you. What does that mean? You be loved? I made that up. Probably not the first one, but that's really what he's talking about. You who are loved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Now drop down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. You know, notice there, not only is love dwelling in us, we're to dwell in love. Do you see that? That's just like with the light. You know, not only is the light in us, we're supposed to be enveloped by that light. The prophet Isaiah said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. These are things that not only are in us, they're to be apparent upon us. All right? And then the last thing is that God is life, and the life of God is in us. Now, we talked more about that last time, but there's a couple places here that I want us to look at. Look at starting here in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. God is life, and the life of God is in us. Just as the light of God is in us, the love of God is in us, the life of God is in us. Well, what's it doing? Your brother Hagin said, what's he in there for? Is he just hitchhiking a ride through life? No. These are the defining qualities of the family of God. If God is these things, well, what about his children? What about you? You see. Now here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Well, when you got born again, that's what he's talking about there. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've got the Son. And when you get the Son, you get the life, glory to God. And that life is in him, and therefore it's in us. He has. Now, when he says eternal life there, he's talking about not the length, but the quality of the life. John 10:10. In fact, go back there. Craig can quote it, but I like to read it. Amen. So I want to make sure we get this here. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, we just read there, what did he say? He said that we have, past tense, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Well, that agrees with what is said there. And he said, he's already given to us that you might have it. So I've got that life. But notice that he adds something, that you might have it more abundantly. I like if you look that word abundantly up, you can come away with this idea that this life that we have, it is super abundant in quantity. I mean, not just enough, but more than enough. In fact, more than you'll ever need. All right, and it is superior in quality. What kind of life is it? Barely get along life? Just barely make it life? Just, oh boy, you just squeaked in life? No, it's superior in quality. Or it is life the way God lives it. Jesus came that we might have that life. And he says, he that has the Son has life. Not going to get it. We already have it now. We're not waiting till we get to heaven. We already have it now. Hallelujah. Now, I would probably suggest here that most of us are still learning how to tap into that life, aren't we? And that's all right, but keep on tapping. Keep on tapping. Let that life, a well of life, he said, springing up into everlasting, a well springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. A well, he said. Romans 8, we won't turn over there, says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. life and peace. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to God. We have the love of God in us. We have the light of God in us. And we have the life of God in us. And these are things we keep reminding ourselves. Amen. Keep reminding ourselves that these things are constantly at work in us. We need to know who we are and what we have. We need to know what you have on the inside. I've got the everlasting, eternal life of God on the inside of me. You see, that's why Paul could say, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" Because death to the Christian is just setting aside this physical body. Amen. Because you're still alive. There is no sting because of that life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, we're not dead in our sins any longer. Glory to God. Amen. I'm not dead. I'm not dead in my sin. And think of it this way. I'm not dead in my past. The past has been buried in Christ. And it's not that I'm looking to live a sinful life. I don't understand why we would think that Jesus died and paid the price for our sins so we could continue to live therein. That doesn't make any sense. That's not logical. That's not even good thinking. And of course, it's not good Bible at all. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. And if we confess our sin, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, just because I've decided before I'm thinking about from this standpoint, and I'm going to act like God. Just because I've already decided to love you no matter what, doesn't mean that I'm pleased if you don't live right. Right? It doesn't mean I condone that. You see what I'm saying? So don't put that over on God that, well, he's got to love me. Like one person told a pastor here, and they told me about it not too long ago. They said, "We've just finally figured that out. You have to love us no matter what we do." This church member told a pastor that. Wasn't at this church, all right? Quit looking around, figuring out who that was. Oh, how about that? Was that Phil Dietz? I know it was. No, it wasn't Phil. Woo! No, Phil, you got your name mentioned. You're supposed to holler whenever your name's, but never mind. That's a little inside joke we got. Hallelujah. But we've been raised up together. Why? Because we're alive. You're not raised up because you're dead. You're raised up alive. Glory to God. And that life is in us. And so he talks about when we're aware of those things. See, being God inside minded is going through life aware, not just going through life and letting life happen to us. But being aware of what's in us and learning how to let those things. And think about what in Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Those are things that are already in us. You're not looking out here. That's stuff that's already in us. Now, these things are in us because we are attached to the vine. And the quality and the quantity of the fruit is determined by the attributes of the vine. He is the vine. Now think about it. And he is what? He is light. He is love. And he is life. And that's the fruit that we can produce. Now, we're still talking about, and a lot of these things, you know, you understand that once these things start, you don't contain it, and we have that part of the Holy Spirit is that river of living water flowing out to bless others. But living in that on ourselves, being God, God's on the inside of me. God's on the inside of you. Jesus, you know, this time of the year we talked about, and we talk, it's the Christmas season, you know, and we talk about the miraculous birth of Jesus. And it was miraculous. I mean, when Mary asked that question, how can this happen? How can this take place? And it's the same thing. You know that angel gave Mary the same answer that God's going to give you today when you ask, well, God, how would that ever happen? The power of the Holy Spirit. And she said what we need to say, what you said, I believe it'll happen. Amen? Well, that girl was a woman of faith. She had faith. Let it be unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. What a great example she is. Well, then Jesus was born and began when he went into his midst of ministering that life, that love, and that light. He couldn't help it. It just came out of him because that's what he is. And that's what we are to be now. Amen. He emptied himself so we could be filled with him. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. So we study your word, Lord. And we begin to see it, and we see again, Father God, these things. Help us to be God inside minded. That you're in us, springing up into everlasting life. Springing up, Father God, into love. Springing up the light of God on the inside of us. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, show us and teach us how to apply those things in our life. How to make those things a daily part of everything that we do. Father, we look to you. Thank you, Mighty, for sending us the mighty Holy Ghost to teach us and guide us into all things, to show us the very fullness of God, and to reveal unto us what we have and help us to see things according to your Spirit. Father, we praise you and we honor you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We praise you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's all stand together. Connections team, if you would go find our first-time guests, take them to that place to receive the gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen from Raymond Bible Church. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand clap again. Welcome them. Thank you for being here tonight. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything tonight, our prayer team's coming. Ladies will be on my right, your left, the men on my left and your right. Come on down there, ladies. Pray with the ladies, men with the men. And they said, well, why? Well, that's how we like to do it, okay? You want us to do things the way God told us to do it, right? And so that's the way we do it here, all right? But they're going to pray with you according to the Word of God because that's where answers come from, God's Word. Amen. Everything good? We'll be here Wednesday night, right? Hour of power. And enjoy. Don't forget, people are out looking at the lights tonight, so be careful as you drive out of the parking lot. Shake hands with two or three people tonight and tell them, he's in me. Amen, and you can be dismissed.